Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, the first thing we have to tell you this morning is that the Nobel Peace Prize winner has been announced, and it goes to the Venezuelan opposition leader, Maria Corina Machado, who has been announced as the winner of that prize. Not Donald Trump, as some had speculated, given the events in the Middle East, because on that side, the Israeli cabinet has agreed to a deal roughly 24 hours after mediators announced an agreement to free Israeli hostages in exchange for Palestinian prisoners. Now, it's the first phase of Donald Trump's initiative to end the two-year war in Gaza. In just a moment, I'll speak to Nabi Boulos, who's Middle East Bureau Chief with the LA Times in Jerusalem. Our reporter Brian O'Connell, though, has been speaking to people on the streets of Washington, D.C. And ahead of that announcement of the Nobel Prize winning Maria Corina Machado, Brian asked people in Washington if President Trump deserved the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts in the Middle East.
In terms of Gaza at the moment, it looks like a peace deal. Would you give him credit for that?
No. I would not give him credit for that. If I did anything on his behalf, it would say that he made himself the martyr for it and going through that. He did not bring that about. That was a situation that had to take place between those two countries.
Okay. It looks like there's a peace deal in the Middle East.
Yes, I've heard about that.
Should he get the Nobel Peace Prize?
Should he? I don't feel like it would matter.
What about his stance on the Middle East? Obviously, it looks like he has got a peace deal on the table.
Yeah, I've been watching the news, and it seems like that's a good thing. If that's what's going on, that seems great.
Should he get the Nobel Peace Prize?
I don't want to go that far.
Should the president get the Nobel Peace Prize?
My personal opinion is I think that his tactics of uncertainty work really well for stopping certain things. I also think that it allows and fires up just as many. I don't think he's worthy of a Nobel Peace Prize for being volatile.
Some American citizens there talking to our reporter Brian O'Connell in Washington last night as the details of that ceasefire was being worked out. And as I mentioned, we know Donald Trump isn't getting it now, because in the last few moments, the Venezuelan politician Maria Corina Machado has been announced as the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. Let's go to Nabi Boulos now, Middle East Bureau Chief with the LA Times, who is on the line. Hello to you, Nabi.
Hello, how are you?
Thank you for being with us this morning. Now, we understood that a ceasefire was due to come into effect once the Israeli cabinet had given its approval, but we hear that there have been airstrikes in parts of Gaza overnight. What more can you tell us about what's happening?
Well, so you're correct. There has been word of an airstrike in Khan Yunis and a helicopter attack east of Gaza City in the hours after the government had ratified the agreement. But it is worth saying that a government spokesperson for Netanyahu said that the ceasefire would come into effect 24 hours after the government agreement. So, I mean, there has been a lack of clarity in this regard as to when exactly the ceasefire would properly begin. With that being said, we have also heard reports that the Israeli military is firing at people who are walking along an area of, I suppose, near Gaza City, right, as they're trying to go back home. And the idea here is that we've also heard from various authorities in Gaza that they're telling citizens not to actually move into areas that are close to the Israeli military and to wait until there is an official word for the ceasefire having begun.
Mm-hmm. And then as part of the deal, we know that Israel's military has to withdraw to a line that will leave it still in control of about 53% of Gaza, Nabi. How long does it have to do that, and what are we likely to see over the next couple of days?
Well, so supposedly it's already done. In fact, there was word from the Israeli military that it would be done with its withdrawal to that line actually at noon, 8 minutes ago, local time. Now, at the same time, this will then lead to a 72-hour period where we're going to see the release of the hostages, right? And there, of course, you're talking about the 20 hostages who are alive, right? The further 28 who are deceased, that will probably take a little bit longer.
And in terms of the hostages and the release then, do we have any detail on how that is likely to play out? Because we have all seen over the last number of hours since this deal was first mooted that the relatives are waiting. They hardly dare to hope that it's going to come to pass.
Yes, you're correct. I mean, the fact is people are, of course, celebrating, but they are at the same time quite wary. I mean, I was yesterday in Tel Aviv's hostage square, and the mood I mean, I guess it was jubilant, but of course people are still worried because it's not done until it's done. With that being said, right, the first 20 hostages who are alive, that should be, I mean, supposedly that should be done by Sunday or Monday. Now, the ones who are deceased, it should be said that would be a little bit harder because it would involve actually exhuming their bodies, taking the bodies out from under the rubble, right? You are talking about people who are perhaps in bombed out tunnels or in bombed out structures. And so getting them out of the rubble would be, I suppose, quite difficult with the logistical challenges in Gaza itself. Now, at the same time, it should be said that there is a mechanism within the agreement that says, you know, for those bodies that have not been retrieved within the 72-hour period, there will be a team that will go in and coordinate their retrieval, I guess, in the coming days as well.
Mm-hmm. And the aid trucks, then, we know that 400 of them, under the terms of this deal, are due to cross in to Gaza. We know that's not enough, but it's certainly a start. When will that happen, do we know?
Well, actually, the plan calls for 500, 600 trucks a day going in. And you are talking about areas of the strip that have famine there. So the idea there is that you're going to have about 2.1, well, you have people basically providing food for 2.1 million people, and along with supplements for 500,000 people, because, you know, they also need, famine recovery. It should also be said that in conjunction with all this happening, right, you will be having also a prisoner release and detainee release on the Palestinian side. So the expectation is that you're going to have about 1,700 Palestinians who were detained since October 7th be released. And then, of course, there's a negotiation over a further 250 Palestinian prisoners, some of them with lifetime sentences in Israeli jails. That list of those prisoners has yet to be actually confirmed. And in fact, there is some controversy as to who will be released. And we'll probably be seeing protests throughout Israel. Was it protest in Israel about the names that will be released with that regard?
And in terms then of monitoring this deal, and that's such a sensitive area, isn't it? Who is going to be in charge of making sure that this holds? America has said it's moving troops based in the Middle East to Israel to coordinate a multinational force. Now, what more detail do we have on that, Nabi?
Some have already actually begun to arrive, and the expectation is that most of them will be here in place in Israel by Sunday. Now, it should be said, these are not fighters. These are military planners or specialists in logistics and security. And the key point here is that there will be no American boots on the ground. That's something actually a lot of officials have been repeating time and again. And so the idea is that they might have, they might have drones or similar air assets. And they'll be joining soldiers from Egypt, Qatar, Turkey, and the UAE. And I expect also that Jordan, which has been involved in training in the past, will also be involved in this situation as well. And certainly in preparing this international stabilization force that's supposed to take over security in the Gaza Strip in the coming months.
Nabi, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much for joining us, but we will be returning to this and finding out more about the ceasefire deal and how likely it is to succeed. That's coming up later in the programme. Next, though, we're going to get the latest on the presidential election with Barry Lenehan.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.